If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are.
Hi, welcome.
This is hardcore.
Co-hosted by Terry and Gatch. The next episode's about to hatch.
Hit it, fellas.
Hold it and go. Edit, Diener.
Get a grip on your soul.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Terry and Gatch fucking comedy show. My name is Terry Guile. This is episode 530.
Yeah, my co-host is across the table smoking. Smoking like a chimney. It's coming out the top of his head. Dude, your hair's on fire.
Chimney, is that a racial slur versus Indians?
You better strap on your jammy pack.
Your chin.
Your chin. It's
a Chinese engine.
Strap on your jammy pack, kids. It's Friday and we're ready to go to the moon.
Yeah, we are.
Do you got a jammy pack?
Dude. No.
Last Friday at the Granary, I forgot, at the open mic, there was a disgruntled postal worker who's been dabbling in stand-up named Vince. He goes by Vinsanity. He had the biggest fanny pack that I've ever seen. And
really?
It was in the front, so it wasn't a fanny pack. It was like a belly bag. Strap on your fanny pack. Come on, Vinsanity. Oh, yeah. It's Friday, folks. Thanks for listening.
There is a jammy pack on the front of the album there.
Strap on your jammy pack. Little Ween from the pod going on in the background there.
Dude, that is, yes. A fantastic listen of an album.
Yeah, and this will get you going. And you'll be going, what the fuck are these guys talking about?
This is a sweet song, too, I think, about some dog or something.
We're talking a long time ago.
Yeah.
22 years ago?
Wow, dude.
Wasn't this 91?
Yeah. I think it was recorded around 88. And then prior to any other releases, maybe? Maybe after the first one.
Yeah.
God Weans Satan. But then post-released after the country album, I think.
That's right. So don't be afraid to strap on your jammy pack. It's fucking Friday, you guys.
Sip
were ready to
on
party.
That there family flask.
Yeah, the family flask is the best one. And it always leads right into the infamous Dr. Rock. Hey, you guys, thanks for listening on a Friday. Hope you're looking for something to do tomorrow night down at Sam Bond's Garage. Got Bleepin' Funny, the next installment. It's on a Saturday night this time instead of a Sunday.
Saturday.
It's pretty cool.
Saturday.
Saturday's all right for bleeping.
Yep.
And that's what we'll be doing down at Sam Bond's Garage on 4th and Blair, right in the Witt down there. The Whitaker District in Eugene.
Wait, are you talking about the Blair Witt?
Blair Whitaker.
Wow.
The Blair Whitaker District. I never thought about
no.
that. There's weird little twigs in the trees, too, that I don't know what they mean. It's like, what is going on? So, yeah, that happens at 6 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday night. It's all right for bleeping with your hostess, Leon Joshua. I say Jash because I'm just one of them A pronouncer, but her name is Joshua. Say it pronouncely. Pronounce it correctly. Say it pronouncely. Smoke more weed, eat more pizza.
Yep, and don't forget to bring your jammy pack when you do there. I haven't read these lyrics in a while. Here's some other choice ones from
okay,
that
cool.
song.
In all case right. you couldn't understand what he was saying. Strap on your jammy pack.
He says that every other line, then he says, get a grip on your soul.
Okay.
And I'll guide you toward the door. And I can't take no more. Oh, no, before that he said, she don't feed me in the morning. And I can't take no more. and slide a double dime my way. Dry off your distributor cap and hip me to the game you play. She's jonesing for a jammy with a girl that I call Tammy.
And for those of you don't know, if you get your distributor cap wet, your car won't start.
Yep.
For you kids who don't have those anymore, back before cars were made out of electronic stuff, you couldn't spray your motor off without covering up your distributor cap, or you'd have to hence dry your distributor cap off, baby.
Yeah.
So that's
cool. Yeah, and also, she hypnotized one dude, stains you like a heart attack. Van Winkle says, fuck you. Never made me no supper. A boy like me needs it too. It's time to pay your due.
Van Winkle. That guy fell asleep under a tree. For 20 years, he grew a long, tall beard and woke up, and I don't remember anything else about it as a kid. That's the only thing
I remember. The Flintstones ripped it off once. Fred fell asleep at the company picnic under a tree, woke up, and Pebbles and Bam Bam were married.
And they had all grown up.
Yep. And Wilma was... I can't remarried to Mr. Slate or something.
Yeah, I think our library used to read the story. A librarian used to read the story to us. And I don't really remember much after that. Just I remember the setup, but I don't remember what happened. It's like I lost interest in the story or something before it came to fruition. But
kids' attention spans these days.
It's like we were talking. Well, those days we were talking about that Ricky Ticky Timbo, whatever.
No, saw Rimbo, Cherry Mary Mip.
So I looked for it in my Kindle, in my Ricky Ticky Kindle, yeah. And all I found out was Ricky Ticky Tavi, which is from the Jungle Book. It's a chapter, yeah. And I'd forgotten about that. It was free.
I thought I saw it on the Kindle, but maybe I didn't.
You know what I found recently?
What?
The most expensive Kindle book I've ever seen in my life.
And Jesus.
How much do you think it would be for
the most expensive Kindle book?
That I've seen.
Well, I would imagine it's
Here's the book. Frank Zappa.
Oh.
Zappa the Hard Way, about the last tour of the band, the best band you never heard in your life, that was headed up by our buddy Scott Tunis. And he kind of became a Nazi, and the band all hated him. And then, boom. The American tour got canceled, hence the best band you never heard in your life. Anyway, couldn't believe it.
Is this written by that one guy that does that other show?
No, it's written by another guy.
I was going to guess astronomical, because it'd be like, how to make $1 million, and the book's like $5 million or something, but nobody's ever bought it.
It's a 234-page
book. I'm going to guess this is probably, I'm going to guess higher than usual, but not astronomically high. I'm going to go like $159.
Yeah, I thought that was... It's $69.99.
That's still...
Original price, $99 for hardback.
For an ebook?
Yeah. $70 just to get something downloaded into your book, into your thing. I said no.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. What was the actual book was $99?
Mm-hmm.
I might do that. But even then, that's hard.
I guess it's hard to find. It's not hard to find your Kindle.
Yeah.
You just push download and make sure you got your credit card information in there with that one-click buying power. You got the one-click buy?
Yeah.
Damn, that's dangerous. You're like, one-click buy.
Yeah, I don't typically use it, though.
Oh,
I will if
yes.
if it's like watching a TV show or something.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't really. Only really Paranormal Witness is the only thing I buy on there.
Yep, so we'll probably be talking about this on Monday's show, but not really much today, because in reality I haven't got to catch up yet, but by the time Monday comes around, I'm sure I'll be all caught up to the first episode of the last episodes, as they're dubbing it, the last episodes of Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. They'll be talking bad afterwards, though.
I know, I don't think I like those.
With Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, there's a comedian that made a good name for himself.
Yep. He was kind of comedian. He's in a band, right?
No.
Hard and Soft or something.
Hard on in the Wicks.
Yeah.
Chad and the Hard Wicks. That'd be perfect.
Like nerd, nerd rock.
Nerdcore.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, they're kind of in the L.A. comedy scene, I guess. They probably play shows and with that kind of...
Yeah.
Hard and something.
And then also,
and
if you're into comedy and you end up going to Bleepin' Funny, or if you don't, or maybe you live up north there in the Portland area, Sunday night you should go out and check out Patrick Thomas Perkins' showcase, Down and Dirty, a dark comedy showcase at the Ash Street Saloon. Starts at 9 o'clock. It's $5 suggested donation, but you poor folks and comics can get in for free. We'll have the lineup listed for you on the plug section, which is after the show. After the show.
Plugs, plugs, plugs.
Sometimes it's butt plugs. Sometimes it's ear plugs. Sometimes it's earbud plugs.
Ah.
Sometimes it's bong plugs. Sometimes it's just plugs. Plugs, plugs.
Yeah, it's Hard and Firm.
Ooh.
Hard and Firm is the name of the band. That's
P-H-I-R-M. I don't appreciate you talking about that stuff to me. Why are you telling
me
that?
And Mike Furman, you know that guy, comedian?
No, but it sounds familiar.
He is, yeah. They had a huge success with their song. It was a bluegrass-style medley of covers of Radiohead songs called Rodeohead.
That's clever.
And they had that song Pie, which gained popularity with its music video directed by Keith Schofield.
Old Pie, huh?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it's just somebody reciting Pie in a rhythmic thing with some music in the background. 3.14571473 over like 6 minutes.
That's stupid, dude. I'm going to kill somebody. Hey, did you hear... Ozzy's been dissing on Bill Ward publicly.
What?
Yeah.
What is the fuck problem?
He's old. Bill Ward.
Just because Bill Ward doesn't want a burrito.
He said, you know, it's like he's totally out of shape. He's overweight. He's like, you have to be in shape. He's like, I don't want to be responsible for killing a man. It's his way out of saying, my wife fucked him out of a contract deal, but now I'm going to turn it around and say he's out of shape. He had 2 heart attacks last year. For God's sake, that was a terrible John Kennedy trying to be Aussie.
You're Boston Oz.
Bozzy.
Dude, there's a character for you right there. Boston Oz. Ozzy from Boston.
Bozzy Bosbone.
Yep, there it is.
Bozzy Boston Bone. He's born in Boston.
Bozzy Boston.
He's like, Sharon, this is fucking Wicked Twisted. Where's the fucking pisser? Ozzy's Boston Bosbone. Hello, this is Boston Bozzy Osbourne. I talk more like John Lennon with a stuffed up nose. Maybe it isn't John Lennon. Maybe it's Ozzy. Maybe it's Bozzy Osbourne. Maybe it's Johnny Lennon and John Osbourne. Maybe it's Joan Osbourne and John Lennon.
I don't know if anybody really knows what Ozzy's voice really sounds like, right?
We love you all! Bill Ward's a flat heart attack waiting to happen!
Singing or mumbling really hard.
So, thank you! Sharon, Bill Ward's going to have a heart attack. I've turned into John Lennon.
What if Ozzy said he's parking cars?
I'm parking cars in Harvard Yard. It sounds more like Ringo when he's got a stuffy nose, if you know what I'm saying. I haven't seen him in about 20 years, parking cars. And I can do a voice, but it just changes. Like, maybe I was a military brat. I lived in several areas, and like sometimes I talk like I'm from England, but sometimes I talk like I'm from China. Sometimes I talk like constipated Japanese.
they call that Chingland.
Oh, you Chingland. You spoke Chinglish? You spoke Spanglish or Chinglish? Japanglish. Is there Japanglish? Oh, that's when you talk like you're very constipated and you can't pronounce some of the letters correctly. Ancient Japanese secret.
I saw a story that there was a town in Spain claiming that they invented Coke.
Was it Alicante, Spain?
I'm not sure where it was in Spain, but then I read the comments and people were talking about Mexico in the comments, and I was like,
are you sure that the dude wasn't just like at a party trying to sound cool? And he's like, dude, we invented Coke.
I mean, maybe so. But I thought, you know, maybe in South America, maybe like
maybe where they've had
coca growing naturally and sugar cane growing naturally and water around for thousands of years, that maybe somebody mixed it before some guy put it in a can.
Yeah. Did you ever see the drunk history on Coca-Cola?
Uh-uh.
That's actually pretty funny. They haven't had very many.
I used to watch it when they had it on that other show.
It was on YouTube. It was first on YouTube.
Yeah, they had a couple of them on Funny or Die HBO thing. Yeah. That's the only ones that I've seen.
That Derek Waters, though, he's the guy that hosted, and he plays roles in it as well. But they had one with Kristen Wiig as Patty Hearst. And that was funny. And then the one about Coca-Cola, the lady was so wasted, and she's just like, you know, they put Coke in it, and then, like, it was legal, and then all of a sudden Coke wasn't legal, and then, like, he goes in there and says, and then, it's just funny to me. At first I was kind of like, but as I watch it and find myself actually laughing, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because I think that the facts are not really, some of them are, it's just like any drunk person telling a story.
Yeah.
You like
to
just interject some stuff that could maybe not be true, or maybe.
And just a jumble of what you've learned, what you think you know, and
so Spain,
and what you just read.
Spain invented Coke, and then Mexico tried to claim it?
No. And then I read the comments, and people were trashing on Mexico because they saw Spain.
And, well, that's so weird.
And thought. Automatically,
if they
Mexico.
Speak Spanish, they must be Mexicans. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, that's why we're still in England, right?
See, that means we're synced up, or we're ironic, because I've got a new segment called "Those Crazy Spaniards."
Sweet.
Yeah, this is only one story today from Alicante, Spain, and this is about a British woman in Spain. I don't know why, but it's been a new Spanish record for the biggest baby out of a vagina without any C-section or natural childbirth. Fucking crazy Spaniard. Actually, she's a British lady, like I said, but it was in Spain. They call it a 13-pound whopper. It was a 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're bringing Burger King in.
Exactly. So she gave birth to a 13-pound cheeseburger.
With onions?
With no sea sauce. No C-section on that. She toughed out the natural delivery without the benefit of an epidural and later described the process as a fairly painless. She's an expatriate hairdresser who lives in Alicante, Spain, with her husband. She spent less than 3 hours in labor. Not so little Maria moved into intensive care, but more monitoring purposes due to anything just because of her weight, being so obese. Weird. She hadn't even planned on getting pregnant with what would become her fourth child because she thought since she had an ovary removed that she wouldn't be able to give birth or conceive, but I guess one ovary is enough.
Yeah.
Usually they don't let, like in America, they don't let babies get that big before they just say, look, we're going to cut that thing out of you because otherwise it's going to rip you a new cunt hole.
Yeah, yeah, they play God a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cunt hole, that reminds me, you know who Kurt Metzger is? He's a comedian, and he writes for some show that I can't remember.
Adult Swim stuff?
No, maybe, but he's writing for something that's fairly... Oh, the Amy Schumer show right now.
Oh, no.
So he's probably been on there, but he was talking about cunt. He's like, what's the worst word ever, like the worst cuss word? And somebody immediately said cunt. He's like, exactly. Everyone knows cunt is bad. And why is that?
Because women tell us it's so.
So if you call someone a dick, he goes, okay, you guys are a couple. If I call your girlfriend a cunt, we're fighting later because you have to kick my ass. Now, if I call you a dick, it's nothing. She don't have to do shit. He goes, and that sucks because a cunt and a dick is the same thing. Basically, what you're doing is calling someone genitalia.
But I...
You are genitalia.
I would like to argue that it is because the woman says so. Because if the woman said... to you, or to, if the woman said that the word dick is worse than the word cunt, and someone called you a dick, you'd be fighting later.
if they called her a dick. But see, here's his angle.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's Kurt's angle.
All right.
Get it? Kurt angle. Kurt Metzger's angle on this is dick is a nickname for Richard. Mm-hmm. He said, now if cunt, say cunt was a nickname for like Catherine.
It is.
And then that wouldn't be so bad, because then you'd just be calling someone someone's name that is also referred to female genitalia. Could you imagine meeting, hi, my name's Catherine, but you can call me cunt. And you're like, could I call you Kathy? My mom is Kathy. I am cunt. Okay. So that was just kind of funny little bit. And they're doing that on that Access TV live comedy, talking, said cunt like 50 times in like 3 minutes. So, you know, progressing. Our,
I always wanted
our
to do that documentary.
The cunt documentary?
Yeah, about why it's so offensive.
To just be an acronym. It would be a acronym, and the show would be a documentary on...
I just want to go and ask people about it, why it's so offensive.
Corporations.
Asking them over, using the word over and over again until it finally makes them uncomfortable enough to where they just can't handle it anymore.
I heard that Mike... What's that guy that does all those documentaries? Michael Moore.
Moore.
His new documentary is about countries under national terrorism.
Huh?
So, called Cunt.
Huh?
And then the spinoff is Corporations Under National Terrorism, which is also a cunty little documentary.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll be good for porn, too.
Cunt!
That sounds more like a Navy SEAL team for
it
porn.
Kind of sounds like a sound effect, like if you fucking like punched something or sliced it with a cunt, cunt, or like a noise that a tennis player would make when they cunt.
Yeah,
Anna Corner cunt.
It is kind of when you like watch somebody working a piece of steel. You know, out of the fire, you know, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of does do that. Cunt.
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 Yeah.
Cunt.
The blacksmiths used to
do. Yeah. And, you know, if it was, I don't know if it would be any different if it made like a tick, 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 tick.
See, it does sometimes. Yeah. And I think that's where those two words originated back in the 1700s is in the blacksmith shop.
It was.
Like you pull it out, you get the sledgehammer, you're like, cunt. Cunt! Cunt! And he could yell along with it because he's pissed and he's just getting more mad. And then when you get the little hammer out, it's like, dick, 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 dick. Like, cunt!
You're all shaping
it. Cunt, cunt, dick.
You're making the big hole with the cunt.
Welcome to the Cunt and Dick Comedy Show today. It's Friday Cunt and Dick Day.
Dude, that would be a huge successful show.
Hi, I'm Cunt Masterson. And this is
Cunt and Dick Show.
Dickie Fagass. I'm Dickie Fagass. He's Cunty Masterson. It's the Dick and Cunt Show. I'm Dick. He's a cunt. How you guys doing? She's a real big bitch. You ever check the trash can? I had a lady come to the car wash the other day, which some idiot pulled through the inside bay with like a horse trailer or something and ripped my foaming brush hose off.
What?
Didn't break any hardware. Lucky for me, all I had to do was trim it back about a half an inch and get a hose clamp and reattach it. But fucking come on. Really? Are you guys stupid? Yes, you are. You know what else they do? So on the inside bay, you got a hose. They both have like swinging booms on them. So you have ease of use.
Mm-hmm.
And they're each on, well, one is in the roof that swings all the way around. And the other one is on the side. And whenever they, not always, but some fucking idiots like to put them away and they wrap the hose around the other hose to where you can't really drive in there. Without getting out of your car and untangling the hoses, unless you want to drive under some hoses, which some people don't care, just fucking pisses me up. Anyway.
Now, you see, I'm saying if you had a camera like right here at the vacuum post.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm saying that's an episode.
That is. Some person that's all fist off.
Yep.
All of a sudden, I'm fucking Pilafino. They get their P's and F's backwards. I don't know if you know that. But anyway, this lady came up to me and she said, hey, you didn't happen to find a wallet over by the by the vacuum cleaner? I said, no, you know. And some, I go, would it just been laying out? Or she goes, no, my boyfriend lost his wallet. The last thing time he remembered to have it, he was cleaning out his car and vacuuming it. She goes, he thought he might have thrown it in the garbage. And I said, well, you know, I don't dig through the garbage, but when I dump it to the other can, I kind of take a quick, you know, I didn't see it, but I'll keep my eyes open for it. Never did find it. But sometimes I'll find some shit in the garbage, like some good shit. I don't like to dig through the garbage, but that just leads me to the story.
All right.
Another overseas story in France. A check of a trash bin at McDonald's turned up an envelope of cash that had $33,350 in it.
Ooh, what would you do with it?
God, I would just have to, if I found $33,000 in cash in the Brownsville car wash garbage can, I would, I'm just going to admit it, I'd have to keep it. I'd put it in
my
pocket.
Would you be scared?
I would be, no. I would.
What if it was a drop?
I would put
it. What if somebody dangerous is counting on that money?
Because we're in the town, small town of Brownsville, doesn't exclude it, but it makes the chances way lower that
that could make it higher.
It's right off the freeway.
It's right off the freeway in some town that would just be bam right there. You just
and if no one saw it, if I looked around and I'm dumping the garbage, or even if I wasn't, if I was putting the lid back on the garbage can and saw an envelope that I thought, well, that's fat. That's a fucking. It'd have to be a fat envelope to have $33,000 in it.
You would have to have at least.
It had to
330 bills in it.
At least. And so, yeah, I'll be honest. I would stick that fucking thing in my pocket. And if someone came to me that was intimidating or scary in any way, I would say, yes, I found it and I kept it safe for you because I knew that if someone else found it in that trash bin, they would take it.
Sometimes the mob don't care.
I know. Here's your money. Don't shoot me in the foot. If you do, shoot me in the right one because it won't hurt.
Yeah.
It'll just cost me more.
Well, you could use that to your advantage, though. You know, you could, like,
but then I would have to be discerning of character and thinking to myself, oh, this person is harmless. They're just some idiot that lost. I didn't see no money.
Might be a and smart guy, though, who would befriend you,
pull out
move
a gun
in
and shoot
next
me.
Door 10 years later. Where'd you get that boat?
What
How
boat?
Long would you sit on it?
I would never buy a boat. I would sit, I would sit on it forever.
All right.
I would sit on it for a year, now nickel and dime it to death. I would just buy more regular stuff that I have. I'd pay bills with it, which is stupid. People are like, what? I just pay off my little back bills that I have that are just like a couple hundred dollars here and there. And no one would ever notice because I was like, I've just been going without stuff that I usually have and catching up and being responsible. I sold a couple of my guitars under the table, and then I bought this really nice Marshall stack.
I watched this show. It's a British show called Accused. And it goes through these weird trials of people of where, you know, maybe they did the morally right thing in killing somebody, but they're still on trial. And, you know, just it kind of leaves it up to you almost to, like, be a member of the jury as they kind of tell the story through the events of the episode of one of the episodes was a guy in the military, and he was a sergeant, I think, but there was one guy who wouldn't fire back, and so they made him the camp bitch, and he eventually shot himself, and then the guy tried to report it. And then they just kind of brushed it off as, you know, he was going to get you killed. You know, I mean, if he's not going to fire back and he's going to be out there with you, you know, you counting on this guy is going to get you guys killed. That was the soldier mentality, you know.
Right, yeah, for
and,
sure.
And then he ends up, you know, taking care of the sergeant himself. But then he doesn't, like, spill any beans. He doesn't provide in his testimony. He doesn't speak against. He doesn't provide any case. He doesn't give him anything. So he,
weird.
Yeah, and it's a weird show. There's you know, a couple other good ones that I found really interesting and worth checking out. It was called Accused.
Just Accused or The Accused?
Accused. And then, there's, like, two seasons, like 10 episodes. And some really good British actors. Some of them you might even recognize. It was like creme of the crop of British actors.
Creme de la creme?
Creme de la creme of probably of like the dramatic actors.
Maybe you didn't hear me when I said to get your shit out of there, but that's my stuff. Those are my porn tapes. Those are my creme de la creme.
Creme de la creme.
That's a Cyrus quote. I've been seeing some Cyrus action on the internet.
I see that.
I don't think there's anything going to happen of it, but we'll see. Are you out there, Yancey? Yancey. Yancey, when are you guys going to come down to the car wash and do some paranormal activity studies? Because threatening me fucking doesn't seem any shit.
Have you seen any ghosts?
Dude, I did. I saw four ghosts yesterday. One was a naked, young, fine teenage girl. I could just see her as she ran through and she flashed me her pubes.
What's the history of Brownsville? Was it a town of like where
settlers.
There shootouts?
No, but the sidewalks burned one time back when we had wooden sidewalks.
Really? So were people died in that fire?
I don't believe so. But I don't know. I should study a little bit more up on that.
Because if so, maybe you could walk by there and get an eerie feeling of people walking amongst there.
Maybe.
I was just wondering if there was any old things like that to where maybe reported hauntedness of like...
Well, the Moyer House is supposed to have some kind of a spooky entity there, which is that big house there, that big mansion-looking place right uptown by the old fire hall.
Is that building we went into that one time?
I don't believe so. What building did we go into?
It was just right there at the end of the road.
Oh, no.
We went upstairs and had a little party going on.
Oh, yeah. The Bone Jars played there or something?
Well, yeah. You guys were playing at the bar down there.
Oh, and we went across the street and partied a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, just during one of the breaks. We just went there rather than hanging out in the street, I recall.
Yeah, I don't think that's the same place, but that's above the hardware store. But Brownsville had its early beginnings in 1846.
Oh.
A group of small settlers, including the families Kirks and the Browns and the Blakeleys, came west on the Oregon Trail, and they claimed the land in the lush valley of the Calipooey.
And that must have been something where you could just go out and just like, this is my land.
Yeah.
As long as I can build a fence around it, right?
So Alexander and Sarah Kirk established a small ferry, Kirk's Ferry.
That's sound still familiar? Around too, right?
That's that brand new restaurant right across the street from the car wash there, Kirk's Ferry, which is the original ferry building enclosed inside of this restaurant slash bar, which is pretty cool.
So was there a stream or something that was there?
The Calipooey River.
Oh, okay.
It operated until 1853 when they built their first bridge over the Calipooey in 1853. That's a long time ago.
I have a question, though. Were they troubled waters?
They were, and we built a bridge over them. And then to further serve travelers, local residents Hugh Brown and his nephew James Blakely established a store south of the river in 1853.
And he called it Chevron.
And so I guess Hugh Brown was his ville.
Huh, yeah.
It's Brownsville.
Yep.
This is weird. I didn't know this. In 1858, North Brownsville and the town of Amelia developed as separate communities on the north side of the river.
Succession?
Yeah, it was like Lord of the Flies. A dam was constructed 3 miles upriver, which was recently just taken out about 2 years ago. Mill Race was dug to supply reliable water. The first grist mill, I don't know what a grist mill is, and a tannery came along in the 1880s. And by 1884, North Brownsville become a bustling manufacturing and trade center serving a population of 300 people, as well as travelers on the railroad and the territorial road. And in 1895, the north and south sides of the river consolidated as the city of Brownsville.
So all along, right, the coastal highway of I-5 and the railroad coming over...
Not I-5.
Through there.
Well,
I mean, eventually I-5, right?
Yeah, I-5
the main road that they're talking about.
50s or 60s, 1960.
But there was a road, though, right, going from through the coast or close?
Maybe. There was territorial road, which went south towards Eugene and stuff like that.
Hmm.
They had a railroad station, the Oregonian Railway Company. Had a whole bunch of stuff. Then there was the big fire on July 12th in 1919. It was an unforgettable Saturday in Brownsville. Fire was discovered around the Hazelwood Creamery about 3 p.m. that summer afternoon. No one knows the cause of the fire. It may have been the boiler sparks from the creamery or a cigarette carelessly tossed into dry grass near the building. Whatever the cause, around 3 blocks of Brownsville's northern business and residential district from Spalding Avenue south to the river was destroyed, damaged. Losses were estimated from $40,000 to $100,000, and that's in the early 1900s, with 15% to 20% covered by insurance. Ironically, Brownsville's respected pioneer black barber Minor Jackson had insured his business building and attached residence for 20 years and was one of those who had his policy actually lapsed. So he wasn't covered.
Oh, man.
He probably thought it was a race thing, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Insurance rates were high for Brownsville because the flammable wood buildings were erected too closely together and fire protection services were decidedly inadequate. But they started the Brownsville Hose Company.
So that
in 1905.
There could be a source of some ghosts right there, right?
Possibly.
The fire of 1919.
It didn't say, though, that anyone was killed.
Hmm.
But,
could be ghost animals.
It says that 11 businesses and 20 residences were burned. The Brick Howe Building, which is now a quilt shop.
Well, that's good. No one was hurt, man.
Was believed to be saved in the rest of the business district by serving as a fire barrier because it's a concrete block building.
Oh, nice. So, good planning.
Yeah, so Brownsville does have some good history.
Mm-hmm.
Said there was some entertainment going on back then. Said entertainment from afar stopped at the Brownsville Opera House. Minstrel shows, concerts, lectures, and plays, male quartets, and bands were popular attractions.
Hmm.
They were hardworking people.
Where's this opera house out now? Is it... Does it,
I'm not too...
It's not still, like, known as an opera house.
It was located on Main Street. I think it probably was one of the things that burned.
Yeah, yep.
And so it's been re-erected as something else, but, I guess the Browns challenged many of the big town teams on their lighted baseball field that they had.
Huh.
Took the town pride in its high school athletes. Many of the boys went on to play for state colleges. And, yeah. And now it's my town. That's where I live.
Yeah.
Born and raised there in the historic town of Brownsville, Oregon.
That's cool. Yeah. I was recently saw an article on the friendliest places on earth. I don't know how anybody would ever be able to visit every town to know and whatever.
Right.
A poll of somebody. And two of the places were in the same, like, country, which is, I think it was some island country. Dubois, maybe something like that.
But, Dubois.
W.
Maybe George
W.
Dubois Bush.
And they said that their national focus is... gross national happiness.
Gross.
You know, the most...
massive amounts of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Gross national happiness.
Huh.
Weird. But, you know, I've been to some cities that are unfriendlier than others, for certain.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Like, Oakland is not very friendly. I did not feel comfortable.
I haven't had very many encounters in Oakland.
Well, I had
like
one.
With the people, but yeah, it is.
We stayed there one night and stayed the night at a friend's house when we were on tour, and I did not feel comfortable when I was outside. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Oakland or Telegraph Road, but I think that's a Dire Straits song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I have been around people, but it was mostly in a giant crowd of football fans in the surreal stadium atmosphere.
Boy, those Raider fans are pretty gnarly, aren't they?
Yeah, I've seen some things, man. I saw a guy getting beaten with a baton several times.
By the cops?
By the security, yeah.
Wow.
While he held a beer. He just didn't want to go to the end of the aisle. And, yeah, they took action. But I don't know. I saw there was shouting going on between... him and the opposing team fan, and so it was pretty wicked to watch that go on. And then I saw after one time they lost, there was a guy that had a pretty good battle wounds on his face.
Yeah.
Black eye and a little bit of blood. Didn't look like he had a good time after the game or whatnot, but, you know, I'm sure it goes on at all stadiums to some degrees. I think they probably get a little bit more publicity for it.
Right.
But hell yeah, though. Die hard.
Hell to the yeah.
Hell to the yeah.
When we're talking about you had some weird phobia the other day that you were telling me about.
Yeah, phobia.
You know what?
Phobia.
You know what parthenophobia is?
What's that?
Someone who fears virgins.
Whoa.
You ever, are you afraid of virgins? Like, would you be afraid to have sex with a virgin, being the grown adult man that you are?
Well, it would. I don't really see where the opportunity of one, unless it was like a 40-year-old virgin or something.
There's still, I guess, there might still have those.
Yeah. So if that was the case, I guess I wouldn't have an issue with it. But if it was like 18. You know, 19, something like that, and, you know, I'd probably feel a little dirty about that.
Yeah, but if she liked it, it'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Well,
mark
you
it
know,
off the bucket list.
There
as
is
long
some,
as she's over 18. Oh,
there, yeah, for certain.
You know, my wife, speaking of young girls and having sex with them, my wife recently told me that, this is a strange fact, that OMG is actually a acronym for a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
And this is apparently true, oversized male genitalia that some babies are born with when they have really big penises
really?
As a small child.
Hmm.
So that would, I could imagine, that would, a girl would say OMG when she saw an OMG.
Now, would he be able to get, like an erection?
Disability. Oh. It's a disease. It's the would he be able to get a yeah? I think it would just be huge.
Yeah,
huge erection.
Yeah,
I knew that guy. I used to work with.
Yeah, that'd be crazy though. If you're like changing your son that has a 9-inch erection and he's only 22 inches long.
Oh man, are you supposed to wear glasses? Do you have bad eyes?
Probably, if I went and had them checked.
You've heard that old wives' tale that carrots help you see good?
Yeah.
That it improves your vision?
It has vitamin D in it or something, or A.
I was recently informed that that's a public relations stunt from the World War II era to try and reduce the surplus of carrots.
Really?
That could maybe not be true.
That makes sense, though, because, like, you know, you in times of probably, it would probably, if you foresaw as a government a shortage of food,
right?
You know, in the upcoming season, you might want to push, like, hey, get some of this easy crop going quick.
Yeah. These carrots are good, and they help your eyes.
Yep, and they just grow in the ground, and they pretty much just grow.
How many of your kids have glasses? You want the rest of your kids to have glasses?
Yep.
No, eat more carrots. It'll help their eyes.
But how many people has this helped in eyesight compared to how many people have lost their eyes being stabbed by carrots?
They're pointy.
They are.
Those fucking things are pointy, man.
Yeah.
Ah, that fucking thing is pointy. Some of them have those long root points, too. That, like, they might be a little bit floppy.
Yeah.
They might not be that stiff, but...
You could get slapped by the tail of one, too. Like
have you ever been super drunk trying to eat a carrot?
Yeah.
And you just, like, try to shove it in your mouth and you just take your eye out with it? That hurts.
Oh, man. How are you just jam it up your nose?
See, and I told somebody maybe last week on the show, maybe again, just want to reiterate, never make direct eye contact while eating a banana.
Or never make eye contact with a carrot.
Because whether it be your mom or your dad or your godson or your best friend, it's just weird. So have you been eating any cool new foods or you just been on a pizza diet lately?
No, I haven't been on the pizza diet. I've been doing some breakfasts. I made some. I had some Polish kielbasa and some beef, and so I cooked both of those up and I sliced them up, and then I put it in a nice mater sauce.
Right on. I got some unusual flavor combinations that are amazing. Apparently,
all right.
Here to share with you bacon and banana. So you cut banana into slices as wide as a strip of bacon, and then you wrap the bacon in the banana. Bacon's fatty, salty, smoky flavors make a delicious addition to almost every food, but if you wrap slices of the banana in the bacon and grill it over low heat until the bacon begins to brown, supposedly just like very good. What do you think about that? You like bananas?
It sounds good.
I don't
mind a banana.
I like bananas.
I find it tough to get through a whole one.
Me too. They
but
make
I don't mind
ones.
It in like a, I like a banana milkshake or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Or even sliced in milk. It's the dry. There's not just like you're not getting a whole lot of help getting it down.
And I don't really like watermelon anyway either.
And
they
got
so
those
I think
stringy things going.
Yeah. Do you like watermelon?
I used to never eat watermelon, but now I don't mind it just because it's...
Well, then if you kind of don't mind it, then I'll share this one too.
All right.
Grilled watermelon with hot sauce. Surprisingly good sweet and spicy combination, it says. But I don't even like watermelon gum or watermelon candy.
I tried a watermelon salad one time, and I used chunks of watermelon, and I can't remember what it was, but there was... I thought there was some kind of heat in there, but there was some lime. But it just ended up being a soup because all the water drained.
Right.
You know, just continues to drain from the cubes of watermelon, even if you dry them beforehand.
Right.
You know, but I don't know. I've never been like, ooh, summer, got to have watermelon.
Yeah. My wife tried growing some of that watermelon that I think I told you and the listeners about that's not red on the inside, but it's yellow. It's yellow watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes the same.
Japanese watermelon?
I guess, whatever. So she was growing that and Chinese, I think it was Chinese,
mm-hmm.
chink watermelon. And the deer came and ate most of it. I don't know if it's going to survive, but we get deer in our yard right there at our house. But and I don't really like peaches either, but I'll share this one. Peaches and grilled chicken. No thanks. Not a big peach fan.
I love it.
Yeah, okay.
That's a great combination.
Have you ever tried it?
You have a chicken, peaches, or mangoes if you like. Do you like mangoes?
Kinda. A little bit.
What about...
kiwi?
I don't know.
No, me neither.
Peaches, well, I like kiwi. They're a pain in the ass to eat, and they're kind of, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like peaches with chicken. Or just even mangoes. If you slice up some mangoes and bake it with chicken.
Yeah.
On, you know, put the mangoes on top.
Yeah,
it,
sometimes
it provides
they use
a good
pineapple
moisture.
And stuff like that.
Pineapple, yeah. That was another one I was trying to think of.
Have you heard of the traditional Mexican sauce mole?
Mm-hmm. Chocolate and
hot peppers.
All right. Yeah.
I guess high-end confection with dried chili peppers is apparently pretty good. I don't know if I'd like it or not. Hot chocolate.
Spicy chocolate bar.
I don't like coffee, so these are stupid. Avocado and coffee.
Nope.
No, you don't drink coffee?
I don't do avocado or guacamole.
Here's all shit. I thought this was going to be good. I guess it did say unusual flavor. Shrimp and plums. Mmm.
Hmm. I don't consider peach and chicken that odd.
Well, here's steak and peaches.
Steak and peaches.
Grilled summer peaches with
interesting.
Meat. A sweet, juicy accompaniment.
Why do they have to be summer peaches?
Because the winter ones make you too fat.
I don't think any
know.
Peaches come around in the winter. Do they? Do any ripe in the winter?
Oh, maybe in Florida or I don't even know.
Georgia?
I have no idea. Yeah, but that's all I got. I just thought I'd share some of those. Some food. We never talk about food very much.
Yeah, I like that. I'm not a big fan of shrimp either.
Yeah, I don't. The fish stuff is like.
Seafood.
Not a seafood kind of guy. I don't know if it's the smell or what it is, but.
I just don't like looking at it.
You don't like looking at it?
Yeah, I don't like seafood.
Huh.
I don't like to seafood.
I don't like looking at seafood.
Well, yeah, that's another, you know. Some people have a problem with, like, looking at raw meat.
Seafood, eat food. That's what they say.
You know, I don't know. Sometimes. Hamburger just looks gross.
Yeah. You know how they say...
I've been having the urge to hunt.
Ooh. Like with a gun?
Like no. A
deer hunt?
Bow.
Oh. Right on.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer bow. Although, you
That's
know, I don't
hard.
Mind rifle shooting either.
It's hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to hunt with elbow. I don't have a bow anymore.
Huh. I've shot a bow a few times back in the day when my friend was a bow hunter and we'd just do some target practicing.
Yeah,
and boy, you got to watch your forearm. He had a guard, actually, but I saw a friend in Walmart not too long ago that was getting ready to do some bow hunting, and I said, "You smacked your arm yet?" And he pulls up his sleeve, and sure enough, he had like two or three bruises and marks on his arm. But
you're going to get it.
He didn't realize because he had just started. He's like, "You learn fast."
Yeah. Well, it's all in the grip because you don't want to hold your arm straight and solid. You know, you want to adjust it to where you can bend your elbow and then let it just kind of rest there, balance rather than gripping it. Because if you grip it and you just hold it out as far as you can, you're putting your arm out there to get burned. You know, but if you cock your arm a little and let it just balance there, you get better leverage, and then, you know, you're not right in the way.
Right. Right in the way.
Right in the way.
You are not right in the way.
Yeah. And, you know, but, I mean, you still get burnt. But I hated wearing those guards because if you got the string underneath those, then it was just wasted.
Yeah.
I spent many times burn after burn. I used to shoot in the backyard even with just the old recurve bow.
The what bow?
The recurve.
Oh, recurve.
Yep. Into hay bales, and then you'd try to pull them out, and some of them would be really driven in there.
Yeah, we'd have a tough time getting them out. That's what we shot into, too, was hay bales.
Yeah. I saw there's a show on Netflix where this guy made a repeating crossbow. You ever seen one of those Chinese repeating crossbows?
No.
It's just like a little wooden piece. You could make it out of a 2x4 or something. Or you just went like this and it just shot little sticks at you. You know, I mean, they put poison on them, which would do the real damage, but it didn't really have much
like
killing power. Yeah. And, you know, you could probably play with them with your friends in a little playground war. But the purpose of the show is to take something like that and to make it better. And so he went and to where they make arrows and did all these tests with the guy to find the best, you know, kind of shaft to shoot, and had pretty much this thing that would just shooting these things at fucking high speed. It was a pretty cool show.
That sounds like it. My mic's getting all turned around. What's this?
Turn around.
Every now and then my mic gets a little fucked up and I gotta spin it around again.
Turn around.
Oh. So apparently there's gonna be some humor infused in the Breaking Bad new season. It says, Gilligan.
Gilligan's going to be on it?
No, Gilligan's the creator. You didn't know that?
Oh, yeah.
Gilligan from Gilligan's Island, he's the one that made the show.
Mm-hmm. He wrote it while he was on the island.
Yeah, because that's what they needed was some crank.
Mm-hmm.
Skipper! No, but Vince Gilligan.
Oh, man, that would be a great fucking show idea right there, dude.
What?
Gilligan's Island, where the skipper just turned into a meth cook.
Breaking Gilligan. No, but he was saying that the humor helped grow the AMC show to such popularity. Without humor, the show would be unwatchable. So what's funny? What is funny about Breaking Bad?
There's some dry, you know, there's some humor-fed lines.
Jesse's pretty funny. He says some pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, he's got some slapsticky moments going on, you know, where he expresses his reactions in I don't know, a Ritter-esque way.
Do you know what a throat singer is?
Is that a throat singer?
I don't know.
All right.
But throat singer Kangar on Old Dunlar dies at 51. He has an ability to sing two notes at the same time.
Oh. So he can sing with his throat and his gut?
I don't know how that could be possible. The Siberian singer died after surgery for a brain hemorrhage on July 25th. Ondar brought traditional Tuvan throat singing to the Western world, where technique was relatively unheard of until the 1980s.
So is it like inward singing?
I don't know. He performed 3 times at the Rose Parade in Pasadena, California, and once appeared on The Late Show with David Letterman.
Hmm. Says here it is overtone singing. Also known as overtone chanting or harmonic singing.
Well, that's pretty fucking awesome. Rest in peace, Kangar Ondar. Hmm. And also,
I wonder what that sounds like.
Actress legend Karen Black also dead. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
The mom from the House of a Thousand Corpses.
Mm-hmm.
Also the prostitute from Easy Rider. Also many, many appearances in many movies. Karen
yep.
Black. Rest in peace, Care. Take care, Ren. Care, Ren. So, yeah, we got Edie Gourmet, Newt Gingrich's first wife, Karen Black, and throat singer Kangar Ol-Ondar, which is a fucking funny name.
Kondar?
Kangar Ol-Ondar.
Kangar Ol-Ondar.
Exactly, you got it. Kangar, he was only 51. Edie Gourmet, on the other hand, 84. And wasn't she, it says she was a singer, but wasn't she in the Cheech and Chong movie?
Not sure.
Oh, that's Edie McClure. Never mind.
Edie McClurg?
Remember her?
It sounds
McClure. She's got the high voice. She was the one that went with him and got all stoned. And she's like, I'm going to show you a magic trick.
Yeah, I know she's been in several shows.
I'm going to turn this napkin into a penis. Which that's not really how the joke's supposed to go. But hey, Chris Brown suffered a seizure. I'm looking over the headlines here. He blamed negativity. He blamed negativity.
He should have started smoking marijuana.
I guess he should have. It would have been. Due to fatigue from nonstop negativity. Whatever. Usher keeps custody of sons after near drowning accident.
I saw that.
He's obviously not a good dad.
Real differently.
I don't know. Oh,
he said that they.
Doesn't he know that?
It was near the. It was
black kids can't swim.
I think it has something to do with he didn't have the protective filter or something on there, and it was pulling the kid towards it. And as he was trying to, I don't know. All right.
Well, there's that. Robin Thicke's son wants to be just like him.
Alan?
No, that's his dad. Alan Thicke's grandson wants to be just like his son.
Who's Robin Thicke?
Alan Thicke's son.
I know, but what's he in?
He's got the most popular song on the air. I talked about it, but you didn't hear me because we were talking about something else a week or so ago.
I forget this.
What's his name?
Robin Thicke. It sounds familiar.
He's been a pop star for years.
Yeah, okay. I guess I didn't know that he was Alan Thicke's
son. He's got a new song
guess.
Called Blurred Lines.
Oh, okay.
And people, it's gone viral. Blurred Lines. And someone did it. It's like George Bush or someone.
Looking between blurred lines.
Somebody weird did a turd duet blinds. With
him. That's what I'm going to write. I'm going to write turd blinds.
Turd lines?
Turd blinds. Like you hang them from your window.
Yeah.
Turd blinds.
Huh. Turd lines. Hey, Joey Behar is not going to be the co-host of The View anymore. She's off.
Who? Behar?
Yep.
Huh.
She ended her 16-year run as a co-host on last Friday. A week ago today. Hmm. And former Real World San Francisco cast member Sean Sasser, dead at 44.
Hmm.
Da, da, da.
Welcome to the real world,
said his partner, Gay Kaplan. Michael Gay Kaplan. They're from San Francisco.
You want to know how to overtone sing?
Yeah.
All right. It's a type of singing in which the singer manipulates the resonance created as air travels from the lungs past the vocal folds. It is selectively amplified by changing the shape of the resonant cavities of the mouth, larynx, and pharynx. You can create apparently more than one pitch at a time. The fundamental and a selected overtone, while still in effect generating a single fundamental frequency with your vocal cords. I can't even understand what that would sound like.
Well,
I guess it would sound like two people singing, right?
At least we know a little bit more about throat singing now. Because I had never heard of that. I was like, singing to the microphone. Throat singing. And here's my...
That sounds singing.
That sounds like a guitar. That's outrageously incredible. Oh, it's Drunk Wade. That's fucking awesome. That's fucking awesome.
That's two people.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. That's two notes, one person.
There's two people on here.
Well, there's one person playing the banjo. The other one's going, hello, I'm drunk weed. I'm walking down the road.
He's doing
Okay, there. I thought it was a picture. Those guys are Japanese.
Tuvin. I'm in the middle of a lake.
Well, I'm drunk weed and I'm in the middle of a lake and I'm singing a song of the name Clappy.
Well, that doesn't give us a good example of his two people on the video.
Dies at 51? Fucking no wonder. Okay, last celebrity story. Amanda Bynes reunited with dog. Apparently they let her out of the crazy shack, but she allegedly doused gasoline on her dog and set a fire in a driveway last month.
Most people be arrested for that?
She was. That's when she got put away, but she got her dog back after she got out.
What?
She's been repeatedly asking to see her dog while in the psychiatric hospital, and the parents finally brought Sherbert O for a 30-minute visit.
That is horrific. I'm sure the dog doesn't want to see her.
She doused me in gasoline and then set a fire in the fucking yard. You're lucky you didn't get the dog set on fire is what I'm talking about.
Welcome to the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.
Here we go.
Show.
One more try. One guy.
It sounds like a Jew's harp.
Now he's talking. What the hell?
Hi, all the way. Yep.
I think it's a myth.
I think it is too. I can't.
You know what goes down?
I can't.
The story's going to get your pony waxed.
What?
I don't know.
The story's going to get your pony waxed?
Yeah, I just put two words together. Did you know this is a story out of Tinaha, Texas? Did you pass through there?
No, I did not pass through.
Well, apparently cops stop people there, and this happened all over the South. They stop out-of-state people, and then they confiscate anything they want based on the law of civil forfeiture. Where police can confiscate any property on suspicion it was obtained illicitly, in which they typically say, you're a drug dealer, we need to take that from you. And they even take cars, cash, jewelry, and, it's been going on for...
years.
Decades.
Hi, welcome to Tommy Nanyang, Texas. We will confiscate your stuff.
Not just there, though. I mean, just all over. You know, where there's corruption of people. I mean, people are going to take that power.
They're like, all right, son, here's the deal. We suspect that you're a drug dealer, and we're going to take all our shit unless you can sing one song for me throat style. I want you to do some throat singing for me, and then maybe we'll let you go because we really like that throat singing down here in Texas. So hit it. 1, 2, 3, go. That's not good enough. We're searching your car. Okay, give us that weed. Hey, Hans, make sure that you never go to Texas when you've got lots of weed with you, all right? It's dangerous.
Have you ever heard of Shri-Ami?
Shri-Ami?
Mm-hmm. Shri-Ami. Isn't that a Stevie Wonder song about a pigeon?
My Shari Amor. It's about love, Amor.
No, it's about a pigeon.
Okay.
Did you know there was a pigeon in the Union Army in the Civil War. That these people were advanced on the Confederacy, apparently, allegedly, I'm going off of my basic readings, and they had planned that there had been support on the other sides, but they had been stalled, so they basically just went in there. Maybe this was a World War II thing.
So they
Let's say it was a World War II thing, not a Civil War thing. Or maybe it was a Civil War thing.
Okay, let me say it. That was a World War II thing, not a Civil War thing.
All right, are you sure?
No.
All right, then.
You just said, let's say that.
All right, let's say that. Okay. All right.
I already did.
So people can look up Shariyami. But this pigeon, so they're in here, and they call for help, and then help comes and starts bombing them because they have the wrong coordinates.
Help! Oh, because the pigeon's a dumbass?
No. And so they and they have no communications left, and so they have to try to send these pigeons off. But they keep trying to send these pigeons off. They keep getting shot.
Duh.
And it's so this one pigeon was shot with the message that said, "We are located at blah, blah, blah. You are bombing on us. For heaven's sake, please stop it." And this bird arrived there in record time, just about an hour to where it was going. And he had one eye shot out. He had been shot in the chest, and half his one of his legs was half hanging off.
That's fucking tenacious.
That is patriotic.
I heard that there was an extra
note. He is now stuffed in the Smithsonian.
I heard there was an extra note taped to him that said, "Don't shoot me, I'm only the messenger." That was after the first
That's probably where it came from.
Don't shoot me.
That was the last English word spoken by a pigeon.
Sidetracked, but what's in Holmes' CD player?
We're getting sidetracked.
What's in Holmes' CD player?
That's Holmes.
What's in Holmes' CD player?
Al Minta. Hey, Al, what's going on, buddy? Sing with us. Say Holmes.
What's in Holmes' CD player?
Holmes is?
Thank you.
CD player?
You're, dude, your mic's too loud.
CD player. We're going to find out right now.
All right. Thank you for joining us, Al. Almost got into the the band Al Pizza Now outtake. Which we're not going to play.
Hans is listening to Debbie Gibson.
Until our 200th episode, which is going to be the final episode of this season. Could be the final episode of the fucking world if you guys don't give us a dollar. All right? So just saying. Hans is today listening
Debbie Gibson
to,
out of the blue.
How'd you know? Well, let me give you a hint. The album is called Put Yo Back Into It, and the yo is a Y-O with an apostrophe. I've never heard of this band, so apparently he replaced Friday with Monday with Friday. The name is like, I didn't even know there could be a band called this. Or, you're going to trip out, I think, because it's a weird name. This album is called Put Yo Back Into It by a band called Perfume Genius. What does that even mean, as Hans would say if I was Hans? What does that even
Perfume
mean?
Perfume genius, that is me.
He's
that
the smartest smelling guy you know.
I'm the smartest scent creator. He creates scents.
Or he smells them and makes sure they're right.
Well, yeah, by that he would have.
What are you, some kind of perfume genius?
He would have a super palette for perfumes.
So the chick walks in and she's all, "How do you like my new perfume? It's called Rose City by Madonna." And he's like, "Oh man, it's too pungent and there's a little bit too much alcohol in it." And she's like, "What are you, some kind of perfume genius, you piece of shit?
So
I paid $45 for this 2-ounce bottle of fucking piss."
He's a genius of smelling toilet water.
Eau de toilette.
Mm-hmm.
El genios el de toilette. Mm-hmm. To clean de toilette. And speaking of that show that you talked about, it's called The Accused. It's called Accused. I recently listened to The Accused Grinning Like an Undertaker album, and we were admiring, we spent a good hour making fun of their first drummer. Anybody that knows about The Accused knows that Dana was a good guy, but he wasn't the greatest technical drummer.
Dana was
Gosh darn it, Dana. gosh darn it, Dana. But I tried to listen to Martha Splatterhead's maddest stories ever told, and I was so disappointed to find out that somehow, I don't know if I left my record somewhere where it could have maybe got stepped on, but it was broken. It was cracked on the outer edge.
Did you still try to play it?
Well, I didn't notice it, so yeah, I tried playing it, and it had a skip.
Can't you just super glue it?
Probably, but it would probably make it skip on that line all the way across.
You just have to play it really quick before it dries so it gets in the grooves.
It's vinyl, yeah, maybe. But I can listen to like the last two songs on each side because it's just cracked on the outer edge. So I was checking out some Grinning Like an Undertaker with the amazing Josh Cinder on drums, who went on to play in Tad and some other bands. Great album. Check it out. We were marveling at some of the lyrics. The chorus to Grinning Like an Undertaker says, "Grinning like an undertaker, ready to dress a corpse."
Ah.
So at first I was thinking like dressing like skin, you know, like doing an autopsy like an undertaker would do. But then I thought maybe he just got done having sex with it and he's dressing it.
Yeah.
Gross. Why does my mind think like that? Because of bands like The Accused. I'm getting stuffed up. We'd like to thank our great sponsors, Pizza Now. And, our future sponsor,
Shiryummy.
No, Chiba Chews.
Chiba Chews! Those are good.
We got to reach out to Chiba Chews again and say, please sponsor us. Like my good friend from the fair, Debbie Wilson, as some people call her, but her name's Diane Watson. This is just weird, doesn't make any sense, but that's just the way things go at the country fair. I've been wading through some recordings of her ramblings, which are just hilarious. It's like a Saturday Night Live character. I don't know what I was going to say about her. What was I just talking about? Pizza?
I don't know. Shit. I lost a subject.
I did, too. That weed's good. That weed's pretty good. Oh, we were talking about Chiba Chews.
Chiba Chews.
But that doesn't remind me of anything except for more weed.
And Chiba Chews.
And how stoned I am.
And pizza.
And wanting to be sponsored by Diane Watson. So we hope you guys have a great Friday. Be sure and stick around for after the show.
I'm stuck on trying to figure out what it was I forgot.
Just rewind the tape and play it.
Rewind the tape.
And he was talking about Chiba Chews.
Chiba Chews.
Dude, fast forward. Bring it on back. Give us a dollar. Go to tagcastpodcast.com and donate to our show. Oh, who I was telling? Jared Nelson. No, Jared, other Jared. Jared Johnson. Mm-hmm. They both end in son. Listen here, son. Jared's son. He said, well, what the fuck is a podcast anyway? I said, my point exactly. That's why we're not the TagCast podcast anymore, although our hosting site is tagcastpodcast.com. Our show is now the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. And he said, well, that makes way more sense. He goes, when I hear that title, I know what I'm getting. When I hear TagCast, which isn't even a word, and podcast, which I don't even know what it means, it's confusing. What am I getting? Am I getting comedy? Am I getting a cast of a bunch of peas thrown at me?
So if he wants us to get the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show.com?
No, not at all. He just asked what a podcast was, and I said,
What a podcast is. I don't know.
Yeah. It's some dumb word that probably Steve Jobs made up, or his wife, Siri. And Ashton Kutcher.
You know who's playing Jobs?
Ashton Kutcher.
You answered my question before I asked it.
You were starting to answer it when I already asked it before. In my mind earlier, I had forgot to write it down, but I was going to ask you what you thought about Ashton playing a Jobs.
I saw him interviewed the other day.
I think he probably did a good job, but I ain't going to watch
it. I'm not interested. Me neither. Either way. In either.
I don't need a job.
Yep. Apple.
This is my job. Apples get rotten.
They do. It only takes one bad Apple product
to spoil the whole bunch of products. Wow, there's a fucking thing that's true. That thing happened. Go to tagcastpodcast.com. Click on Amazon. Go buy a Fleshlight or a Bukowski novel. Or
that new Windows...
96.
That new Windows tablet.
Yeah.
It's like $300 and you can multitask on there. And
I saw a cool book on there the other day called Throat Singing for Dummies. That's available.
Yeah.
And
drunk lady does a lot of throat singing, but I didn't know that's what he was doing. When he'd come to Griefhammer practice and he'd be like, "Hey, you guys, I'll see you. I thought you guys should have been saying, like, what it is." And I'm like, that is what we were saying. That's weird that you think they're doing. You know, people with tracheotomies can maybe get away with doing some throat singing.
Dude, yeah.
I've been smoking cigarettes for 14 years. Now I can't read a story to my daughter at night, so please do that before you smoke any more cigarettes, because now they'll be scared of you.
Why? Maybe you should just read them sci-fi.
You're like, "Hi, Spider-Man then went into the cave and killed Batman dead."
Now read me 2001 Space Odyssey.
I don't know the words of that song.
See, that sounded like throat singing right there.
Mm-hmm.
You should dub that into a dubstep song on your hip hop fucking software.
Hip hop soldier.
Bitch, got some hip hop software up in this bitch. That reminds me of a funny thing. Just before we go here, Ron Funches, during his old set that I watched, he was like talking about his parents-in-law. He's like, "My parents-in-law won't come to a show because they don't think I'm funny. They don't think my act is urban enough." He says they want me to be more entertaining, like more Cedric the Entertaining. And he's like, "So I wrote one joke just to suffice him." He's like, "I don't want to be talking about that shit. Fucking bitch looks like a hippopotamus." That was it. And everyone cracked up, and he's like, "See, I can't do that, you know? I didn't want to be talking about that. Fucking bitch looked like a hippopotamus." Is that funny? That's funny. They're like, "One more." And he's like, "I said I wrote..." You don't know Cedric's material?
No.
He's dead. Isn't he Dedrick the Entertainer?
Bernie Mac, I think.
Oh, Bernie Mac attack. Bernie Mac heart attack.
Yeah.
Cedric's still kicking? Is he in the Black Comedy Cool?
So.
Black Collar Comedy Tour?
I'm not sure. I thought the funnier one being Bernie Mac was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. Bernie Mac's show was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. I like that.
With the family issues and whatnot.
That baseball movie you did. Did you ever watch that?
I don't think I did because sports are dumb, but I thought it might have been kind of funny.
He had the 3,000 hits record or whatever, 3,000 hits, and then somebody's going to break his record or whatever, and they go back, and it's like he's shy by like 10, so he has to unretire. And then it's pretty entertaining.
Right on. You don't recall the title?
Mr. 3000, I think. Or
Yeah. I remember that. That must have been in air quotes. I went in my air quotes voice. All right, so it's Friday night. Don't forget tomorrow. Get down to Sam Bones' garage in the Blair.
That's my inward laughing.
That's fucking good. That could be our new Bob and Thom. Bob and Thomas thing. Don't forget to get down to the Blair Whitaker area of Eugene there tomorrow night. There, 4th and Blair in the WIT, Blair Witch Project. Sam Bond's Garage, funny without all the fucking cussing. That'll be me and a bunch of other people telling jokes without cussing, and there'll be some improv troops doing some shit, or at least one of them. That's a free show, 6 p.m. Sam Gunn's Rod tomorrow night. It'll be listed in the plug, so stick around and listen to the repeat of that, everybody. Man, that's loud. Turn that down, you piece of shit. Thank you. Who's my audio engineer? Oh, I forgot my board. That's right.
I haven't seen Jeff in a while.
Jeff Simpson?
Yeah.
I saw him at Fog Hat, but he was bopping along, and there was a lot of people in between us, so I didn't get to say, "Hey, that's great."
Was he on a slow ride through the park?
Yeah, he was riding slow. He was riding dirty. He was riding dirty. But I guess I need to go see him at the Cash House. Maybe they'll sponsor our show.
at the Cash House.
If he doesn't, I'm going to put cyanide in his sausage and everything will be just fine.
You should do the backwards riff thing for those guys for a jingle for at the Cash House.
A backwards riff from this one?
No, from the car wash song, at the car wash.
Looking at the Cash House. Yep. And it'll be like, do, 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 do.
That makes no sense. At the Cash House.
All right, you guys, thank you for listening. Have a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye, up.
Smoke bowls and be cool. Metal. Big S-D-Y. How you doing out there? It's me, Terry, from that show you just listened to, the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. You know that one? I'm going to give you some ideas of what to do with your nighttime activity action. Sometimes it might be in the early evening. Who knows what? I know what I'm going to tell you. Actually, tomorrow night will be in the early evening, Saturday, at Sambon's Garage, 4th and Blair in Eugene, in the Whitaker District. Bleeping funny with your hostess, Leanne Joshua. There'll be a comedy improv troupe as well as stand-up for myself and many others. And before I get any further, don't forget, every Friday for just a few more weeks, Comedy at the Baghdad with Tristan Spillman. It's going to be canceled very soon, unfortunately, after almost 7 years. But he has a new venue. He's going to keep it going on Fridays, I think, up in Vancouver, which is just basically Portland. So stay tuned for news on that. Also, every second Friday, Pantsless Comedy with Mike McGowan, your host, at Cornucopia. That's 5th and Pearl in Eugene. Let's see, Sunday night, August 18th, it's the Down and Dirty Comedy Showcase with your host, Patrick Perkins. It's a dark comedy showcase at the Ash Street Saloon. $5 suggested donation this month, featuring Whitney Streed, Scott Von Wald, Matt Steiner, Luke Knapp, and Tim Elliott, as well as Pat Perkins himself, doing some of his self-deprecating material that he is so famous for. August 20th is the Summer Slaughter Tour. That's at the Roseland Theater with a bunch of loud, obnoxious bands like Dillinger Escape Plan, Norma Jean, Animals as Leaders, Cattle Decapitation, Revocation, and some other bands that end with Shun, probably. I don't know. Big lineup, big tour. Go check it out if you like that. And if that's not your stuff and you'd rather see a mellower band like Honky and the Melvins, that's the same night, so you have to make the choice to go to the Wonder Ballroom, also August 20th, the Melvins and Honky, for one night only in Portland. Let's see, August 24th, it's Black Sabbath at the Gorge without Bill Ward, because they don't want him to have a heart attack. I'm sure tickets are expensive, but hey, if you love Black Sabbath and you want to check them out, go do that. It's the day before my birthday. You can come back after that and buy me a present. August 29th, Gary Newman will be singing In Cars and Down in the Park and probably about 10 or 12 other songs, I would imagine. Wow Hall, Eugene, Oregon, 8th and Lincoln in Eugene. Old school, dude. And then there's the Eugene Metal Celebration, which is happening the week after the Eugene Celebration, which I'll get to later. Talk about that at the end. But it's a yearly thing at the Black Forest. 3 or 4 days of metal this year. It's 3 days. August 29th, 30th, and 31st at the Black Forest. The first night features Dirt Clawed Fight, Rocket Propelled Chainsaws, Elohim, Malformed Abomination, and What They Fear. A couple bands I've never heard of, but I know Malformed Abomination includes the drummer from Necryptic, so that should be good. The next night, Gene Gray, Pantheon, Headless Pez from Portland, a.k.a. White Devil from Roseburg, and a new band called Dark Confidant will be opening the show. And then Sunday night, the 31st, it's Fallen Theory, I Am Ruin, Omnihility, Purpose of Silence, and a band that I can't pronounce and I'm not going to try. Anyway, yeah, 29th, 30th, and 31st, the Eugene Metal Celebration at the end of August. August 30th, Comedy at the Baghdad with myself and Seth Milstein. Both of us will be riding up together for that show. And there'll probably be about 6 other comics, as well as your host, Tristan Spillman, for one of the last Comedy at the Baghdads. You should go check out that. $5 at the door. And it's me, so why wouldn't you want to go, right? September 8th, the Uproar Festival at the Sleep Country Amphitheater with Allison Chains, Jane's Addiction, possibly 30-pound test if you go to their website and vote for them at 30poundtest.com. I think they have a link there. You can go and cast your vote for them to open up the show. That'd be good for them and fun for you. Comedy coming to Eugene in the international stylings of Brian Posehn, metalhead, comedian, actor, whatever you want to call him, at the Wow Hall with Seattle comic Derek Sheen, who is also very funny. Check out his latest album, Holy Drivel, which has a parody of a Dio album on the front of it, which is always awesome. So Derek Sheen, Brian Posehn, the guys from The Donkey Show will be opening the show. Marcus and Drew will each be getting to do a set of stand-up to open for Posehn, so that's pretty cool for them. Metal shows coming to the Hawthorne include Diamond Head and Raven on October 11th, Creator and Overkill on the 13th of October, and then November 26th, another great opportunity for my friend Tony Avila and his band World of Lies as they get to open for Morbid Angel. Yes, Morbid Angel, World of Lies, and Seasons of Suffering at the Hawthorne Theater, November 26th. Check online for tickets for that. And then the last thing I want to talk about is Eugene Celebration, the 23rd through the 25th of August. I will be on one of the stages announcing bands and whatnot and doing some jokes in between. And look, my fucking sound bed ended before I was done. And I have a weird bubble in my throat right now, so that's fucking weird. I started the music over just because I got scared. But yeah, check out those shows. I will be at Cosmic Pizza on the 23rd and 24th at 6 o'clock. It's a Friday and a Saturday. It's all ages. 8th in Charnelton in Eugene. And I will be going on 3rd. So between 6 and 6:30. Bring the kids out. I won't be cussing and stuff. I won't say cunt. And then I'll be on one of the stages on Saturday between 1:30 and 5:30. Okay, that was a lot of stuff. That's the longest plugs I've done ever. So thanks for listening, you guys. And we will see you again. Come back and listen to our show, the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. Peace out and spark it up. Shut up and play your guitar.